son of a bitch.
Welcome back, listener. It's Hard Men to Please, episode 27. Today we've got Frankie in the studio to talk about his 15 flicks that you gotta see in 2017. We like the disco sound. Hey, you dig it. We like the music. I'm Jared. My right-hand man is Ethan.
Hey, yo.
And Frankie, you're calling in from downtown Portland?
Thereabouts, yes.
Beautiful downtown.
Right on. Fucking Maine. Gorgeous.
I'm not your left-hand man? Is that a thing, even? Left-hand man?
We call that the stranger.
The left-hand man would be for, criminal acts, right? Because
well,
the right
me.
Hand is...
I yeah, am, you know, I am of Cuban descent, so...
Are you? You know, yeah. The funny thing... Are you 100% Cuban?
I am not. I am 50%.
Are you part Filipino?
I am not. I just kind of look like it sometimes, depending on the light and the amount of tan I have.
What else besides Cuban? Is it someone that's generally in conflict with Cubans?
America, so yeah.
Oh...
Heyo.
I'm half Cuban and I'm half CIA.
That is me.
Okay, well there you go. And this 15 flicks that we're doing. This was something that you used to do back in the old Nerd Mentality days.
That
How
is
many
correct.
Of those did you actually do?
I think I did two, but you know, that was such a time in the sun. You know, it just the months and the years just flew by. So it's difficult to keep track, but all I know is, and was reminded of by you, so thanks, is that in one of the articles I recommended that people keep an eye on a little movie called Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
And that was that was a mistake.
It's a black
you know,
mark on your
thing
record.
Is, that's also the thing that I remember most from that. And I remembered it most even before it was discovered it was a flop, just because it seemed like you made a really good case. You're like, it's just sexy ladies fighting monsters or whatever in Zack Snyder's slow-mo. How can you miss? And I was like, yeah.
Miss real bad.
This guy's making sense.
Hey, that is
I
a dope trailer,
something, I don't know if it was in that podcast or whatever, but at some point I said that Django Unchained would have been better with Will Smith prior to the movie coming out. And I think that you, whatever the podcast equivalent of walking off a set is what you almost did at that point. So,
oh yeah. I really hated Will Smith back then. I feel like he's
What's
had enough of a dip in his career that I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other.
Got it. Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, that's rough. Looking back, I don't know. Django Unchained with Will Smith, what do you think, Eve?
In the Leo DiCaprio role?
Of course.
Pretty solid.
He's actually going to play, what was Christoph Waltz's character? Dr. something? Dr. German name?
Dr. Demento, I believe. Yeah. Dr. Hans Gruber.
That's Fox the past, and we go forward here on Hard Men to Please.
Yeah. So, and the one thing to know also about Frankie's 15 flicks is that these are of a certain niche, would you say?
Is it niche or niche? Or is, like, niche the douchey way of saying niche?
Yeah, we can't use French pronunciations on
well,
this.
I say niche.
Got it.
Oh, fuck you.
Noted.
Nietzsche.
The Nietzsche. So, yeah, so where's your wheelhouse that you're coming at? These aren't the Oscar contenders, right?
No. When I was looking through, I mean, there was a couple Hidden Figures just came out this last week. Fences was a thing that was kind of like on that border between 2016, 2017. And there are plenty of things going forward that I think are intended to be Oscar bait. But I'm coming at it as a more of a, obviously, my perspective, but then some things that I think will actually be enjoyable to watch in a theater and not have to be the type of thing where you're ready to explain why someone should go see it as soon as you leave the theater. Just something that was like, oh, it was cool, or it was fun to watch, or it made me laugh, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, these are largely, maybe they won't end up being, but they're kind of more blockbusters, right? We're looking at the big movies that are going to be, you're strapping in, you're going to have a good ride.
Get your
kind of the opposite
ready.
Of what we're about to slog through, where we're getting through Oscar season at the end of the year, and then right after we do Sundance, we're just going to try to like push through everything that gets a nom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get through that, I feel like this is going to be the list of things that we're going to want as like a palate cleanser.
Definitely.
Kind of like a mental enema.
Well, this will definitely help you turn the brain off. The majority of the films that are on this illustrious list.
Yeah, speaking of turning your brain off, you actually have one kind of a... This is like a genre film, right? This is kind of a thriller, top of your list. And this is all in just in chronological order, but the top of your list is Split.
Yes.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Is this the point where I go ahead and give a quick synopsis or something like that?
Yeah, go ahead. Give us a...
All right. So it is a Shyamalanian film. Which I guess most people will know him best from Sixth Sense, but he's also had a lot of flops. He's kind of burst onto the scene with the whole psychological thriller thing and kept going to that well with his patented twists, as they were, and it kind of fell off. But this film, Split, which stars James McAvoy, kind of, I think, is an attempt to reestablish that mojo, as it were. And the whole premise is the character that he plays has, I think, like 23 alternate personalities. So that's where the title comes from, Split. He has split personalities. And,
yeah, he's got a hefty dose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's like everything from like a 9-year-old boy to like a woman and like an obsessive compulsive person and everything. So, I think it'll be interesting to see how they play that off. Thinking that they're going to be able to handle 23 different personalities, if they do try and handle them all within the film, might be where it stumbles, but it does seem like an interesting concept to kind of make a movie about.
Yeah, yeah. Would that be worth the price of admission just to see McAvoy attempt to do 23 different distinct personalities?
Yeah, I would... Yeah, I like the idea of McAvoy being the villain, and I thought you would be really happy, Jared, because he goes bald for the movie, so he's really committing to the hair change. But it doesn't look like he wears wigs.
He just did this. Yeah, maybe he just did this like right after X-Men, and he just didn't have time to grow his hair.
Could be.
Well, that's possible too. Yeah, like in the trailer that you posted there, there's like one quick moment where it looks like people that he's captured or whatever, she's trying to reason with one of his personalities. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like it could lead to a real nice tense scene where she's like trying to, you know, reason with this one personality, but at some point one of the other personalities could come out. And
I think that's a good point. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that makes people want to see it.
Yeah. I think that's probably where they're going to attempt to kind of bring in that tension. Like, I think the idea is that these kidnap victims are going to try and play some of these personalities against each other. So it'll be kind of, I think that's where the meat of this is going to be, like them kind of trying to diagnose what it is about all these different personalities and like kind of figure out how to best set them against each other and kind of drive this person who seems to be a little...
A
little crazy, even crazier.
Yeah, the one thing in the trailer that I thought could maybe be a sign that it might be another Shyamalan bomb, like the end of it is really focused on one of his personalities that is referred to as the Beast,
yeah,
which I guess
beast.
Is like his, I don't know, scariest personality or most animalistic, I guess. I don't know, but the rest of the movie seems, if it is without like one, you know, like alpha super monster personality, I feel like you could make a really interesting movie without needing that kind of hook, but it looks like they're kind of relying on that hook.
Yeah, they do, and it seems like they're... I think there's like a one line in the trailer that suggests kind of like a Lucy level description where like the brain can control the physiology of the body and he somehow transform. I don't know,
we need confirmation on that.
Yeah. One thing I'm wondering is Shyamalan done with twists, or should we be already guessing what this twist is and expecting one?
I mean, don't guess. There's no reason to guess. That just ruins it, right?
Well, I wonder, you know, if it's almost like a like an extra tool that he has now, where, you know, he can create and direct a movie with the intention that he's withholding a twist, knowing that the audience is expecting a twist and can build tension around that, because where it's the type of thing where it's like, oh, this would probably be where it would happen, and then it doesn't. So it's just like, ah, so, you know.
He's just an out-of-work like actor this whole time. He's not even crazy.
Well, I was, what was, what's the Ed Norton film?
Oh, you know? Primal Fear.
Yeah.
Spoilers, 90s folks.
Well, you know, who knows?
Hey, I never saw it.
If we go back in time. If this somehow goes into the future so far that it actually loops back around on itself and makes it to people in the 90s, yeah, they'll be pissed, but who cares?
All right, well, let's see if Shyamalan can get back on top with his film about violence against women and demonizing mental illness.
Woo!
Next on the list is the... kind of a big one, I think, for this year, and it's the last time we're going to see Hugh Jackman play Wolverine for, like you said, for the third time. It's the last time.
Yeah, supposedly.
In Logan, but it looks like, based on the setting, like all the mutants are dead, and he's actually aged.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually, looks like he, his healing powers have slowed down. He actually has, like, visible scars all over his back. He looks like shit. Somehow Professor X is still kicking around, though.
Not kicking.
No, that's true.
Sorry.
He's not kicking too well. yeah, sorry, everyone with disabilities, this episode.
This is a rough start for those people.
Yeah, but I'm kind of looking forward to this one.
Oh, yeah.
I love huge jacked man as Wolverine. I think he's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's like the perfect marriage of actor to role. And we did start this podcast talking about Wolverine, right? Didn't we?
Did we?
Well, at one point we talked about the movie Wolverine.
Not this podcast, but
our first iteration of this.
Yeah, it's true. It was about the Wolverine, which I think is the one that kind of got it back on track after the really shitty Wolverine Origins. And then Wolverine was okay. And then
it was pretty
good.
Yeah, it was fun.
I thought the one where they go to the past... Days of Future Past was pretty good. I heard the last one wasn't that good, though. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, plugging my fantastic Twitter again at Franksor on Twitter. I had a little bit of a problem with that. Is actually, with Captain America and Batman versus Superman coming out, and you know, Suicide Squad all coming out last year, being these kind of ensemble. But superhero films and people being like, oh, you know, it's like a saturation point, when it's a drop off, blah, 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 and everything. I didn't feel like anyone kind of had Days of Future Past. They didn't like really hold it to task This one was Age of Apocalypse. That was this last year.
Yeah, that was Age of Apocalypse, you don't like. That was in the 80s, right?
Yes, and it had, that one was with supposed to be like, you know, all of the Cyclops and Jean Grey and all that stuff as like, you know, teenagers and whatnot. And it was real bad.
But the trailer showed so many bridges getting destroyed. How do you ruin that? Come on.
Well, they've been destroying bridges since, you know.
No, that was the other one.
Since, what is it? Last Stand. I think Magneto picked up the entire Golden Gate Bridge or something like that. So it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. So, this looks really...
I'm in.
You know, I think people are always arguing about whether comic books themselves can be art and everything. Mm-hmm. And like outside of just graphic novels, because graphic novels are intended to be graphic novels. So that's an attempt at a more traditional art form, kind of too kind of mashed up or whatever.
Well, the one thing that concerns me about Logan is I feel like now we've reached a point where my ears perk up about if a trailer's too good, because there's like we're now in like the artsy trailer mode, and this is not the only trailer on this list that looked like beyond anything else about the movie, the trailer was kind of sold, kind of like the Suicide Squad trailer, the Bohemian Rhapsody one.
Yeah.
It was kind
yes.
It was kind of a craft into itself. And so that always, well, not always, but that now for the past few years after like Man of Steel has made me like wary. Yeah.
It's a good example. yeah, don't get me started on trailers.
This guy's got opinions when it comes to trailers. We should get rid of all. I never hear them, but.
Because I don't ever get me started. You never get me started, so.
Yeah, that's what we do. You tell me not to get you started, and then I comply. And then we just move on.
Never hear my opinion.
Yeah.
Do we know who this is based on?
Oh, Frankie does. He's someone that only people who read comics know about, though.
Should I not know? Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
I mean, I don't think the name matters to you.
Oh,
I mean, because it means nothing to me.
Oh, it's not Jubilee.
Well, it's so.
What did you say? It's not young Jean Grey, like reincarnated Jean Grey.
No, I said Jubilee.
Oh no, it's not Jubilee.
Dang it!
Well, they haven't revealed it, but Frankie, you just kind of know, right? Just because you know these things.
Major
spoilers. Yeah, just because of her name and the kind of synopsis that's been out there so far, but the kind of skeleton of the movie is based on the Old Man Logan comics. And
which, did you read that one?
Yes. And it's Steve McNiven and
I did read that one.
Oh, wow.
And Mark Miller.
Mark Millar.
And yeah, it's like
I feel like it's a
neat concept, you know.
The thing is, I read it after I read Kingdom Come, which I think is a really excellent future version of the DC universe. And I think compared to it, the thing about Old Man Logan, I hope they don't do it in the movie, was the whole movie is that concept of like Wolverine won't open his claws anymore because of a past trauma. So he's kind of shell-shocked. But like the whole plot is centered around people like who kind of seem to be aware of that and are like trying to start the fire and like, come on, fight back, buddy. What's your problem? You won't fight? And it's like, well, why would you expect a random old guy to fight you? Mm-hmm. Anyway. I think I bitched about this again on a really old Nerd Mentality podcast, but let's move on. We've got an experimental film from what I'm seeing here, the Belko experiment, some type of it's probably some like a historical drama about like a Russian like nuclear facility.
Isn't Steve Bilko? That's the guy who took over for Jerry Springer, right? That's the one I know.
No, it's about the Greek cousin from Perfect Strangers, actually.
Oh, God. you get that reference.
This riffing is out of control, and I
don't
love
be
it.
Ridiculous.
it's this one's kind of... this is something
I got opinions
that I think,
on this one.
Oh, you know what? I see the floor.
Well, I'm going to say it's probably going to be really bad, but... I'm very in on the concept. And
what is the concept, Eve?
Oh, yeah, I guess we haven't explained it yet. Based on the trailer, what I saw in your little write-up, excuse me, a bunch of people go to work in a big office building, and then they are, for some reason, pitted against each other, and some voiceover keeps saying, if you don't kill one of your buddies, then we're going to kill, like, six more people or something, and then they lock them in. And then everyone starts going crazy. So,
like a battle royale kind of situation, then, huh?
Kind of, but
really similar.
Yeah, I guess it is very similar. But this one's got John C. McGinley, Dr. Cox.
Oh, nice.
Which is great.
Thank you for translating that. I like him.
The thing I was going to say, it reminds me of when I saw the trailer for The Purge, which was another movie that I thought what a really great idea and like just a great like elevator pitch, but I never saw it because it was probably bad, so I'll probably never see this movie. But I'm in on the concept.
You're gonna think about it next time you're in the office, though.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think the reason that I kind of thought that this one might be worth checking out was I think that it seems a little high budget, right? But I think that it still has the kind of makings of a cult film, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that depending on how hyper-violent they get, you know, once, you know, people are obviously going to descend into madness at some point. You know, even from the trailer, they kind of pull it back and everything. But the intention is that, you know, they all try and be good, decent human beings. And at some point, everyone just loses it and they start murdering each other.
Yeah, a lot of axe wielding in the trailer. I like that.
Yeah, and I think if they can, there's definitely going to be some camp in the beginning of the movie, for sure. I think they're going to try and tonally shift the movie really hard after the whole experiment begins. So I think it'll be kind of boring and light and airy in the beginning. And if it can end up being just well done hyper-violence by the end, I think that it'll be something that'll be kind of like a, oh man, have you seen the Belko experiment? Which is kind of like, you know, what I think the intention of this entire article is. It's like, oh, that was something that I think people should see. So that's where I'm coming at from that one. I think it might be pretty neat.
I'd love if the beginning was like Workaholics. So you're like really enjoying, you know, the office banter and everything. And then everything just goes to hell and kind of like ruins a comedy for you by becoming a, you know, a horror movie.
Yeah.
So also, I mean, one thing I noticed about your list is like you got a big thing for the cast and crew. And this is James Gunn, who's obviously the Guardians of the Galaxy guy, but Ethan, he also did the, he wrote the remake for Dawn of the Dead, didn't he? Didn't we uncover that?
On the pod? Checking the tape. I don't know.
Thanks, Eth. Well, if he did, then I guess he knows a thing or two about, you know, gore and some tension and some
quick,
you know, horror.
Google foo. What's his name? Oh, he worked on Scooby-Doo. That's what you were thinking of.
That's what I was thinking of, Scooby-Doo. I mean, another especially spooktacular film.
Yes, he did Dawn of the Dead.
All right, cool. Well, I think that's at least some reason to look forward to that one. And then the next one is that kind of like a star-driven vehicle? You described it as another entry into the sending attractive people into space genre.
Yes, yeah.
Which is... They just did another one of those with our buddy Chris Pratt and J-Law.
Passengers, that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the one set now.
Yep.
This one has somehow an even more boring title than Passengers.
Life.
You know,
yeah.
Life.
It's like minimalist as possible. So this one's
I
Life.
Think there's been so many movies called Life, you know, through the years, through the history of cinema. And it's just like, yep, I'll just call it Life. You know, it's like people can never have the same band name. Or the same song name or book titles and stuff, but you can just name any movie Life, whatever. I think that Eddie Murphy.
You have a board game, you could have a cereal.
Movie was Life, right? Eddie Murphy and
that?
Martin Lawrence.
They were sentenced to life.
Mm hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is not a remake of that. It's not a whitewashing
to be clear.
Of that movie. Mm-hmm.
This is reset in space. So this is, people go, this is like, you said it was like Gravity esque in that it's like, initially, at least, it's not really science fiction because it's just people going to space, but it's treated like a real astronaut movie. Mm-hmm. And then the twist, which obviously isn't that much of a twist because it's in the trailer, but the twist on that idea is they make first contact, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Should we call it Contact?
And then it becomes not lovely.
Mm. Just like it sounds
which
like
is,
a rival
wow,
to
what?
Me, guys.
Hey.
Hey, don't get these guys started on Arrival.
No, definitely don't
we'll
get
started
on that one.
But yeah, you know, I think it'll be... This one, it's definitely kind of a cast-heavy one. I've kind of almost begrudgingly really come around on Jake Gyllenhaal as an actor.
Oh, yeah? What was holding you back?
I didn't.
Not a Donnie Darko fan?
Yes, I think that was the majority
of
it.
Oh, yeah, whoa.
And I don't know, just kind of really, it was like the same reason that I never liked Nirvana when I was younger. It's just like people were dead set on telling me that they were the greatest band of all time and Donnie Darko was also the greatest movie. And I was just like, no, you're
those
wrong.
Those are two major shots to major shots to Teenage Jared right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because that's also...
I have...
That's a Todd Berry joke. He said, he started going on MySpace and he learns a lot of things. He's like, I didn't realize that Donnie Darko was the greatest movie ever made until I went on MySpace.
Well, welcome back.
I've come around with Jake Gyllenhaal and I like Ryan Reynolds and you know, I think this,
good joke.
Ethan's like getting hit left and right. He's like trying not to jump in.
Well, jump in, man. That's what this whole forum is about.
No, I'm sitting back making my little punchlines, but I did want to say welcome back to the Jake Gyllenhaal fan club. It's very nice here, and we love
you. You're welcoming me back, is what you're
saying.
Welcome
you back. You said you were gone, and then you're back, so now you're back. It's a much better life to
Can you leave if you were never a part of it to begin with?
I guess not, but
welcome to the club. You got semanticed.
Well, it was just the previous podcast, which I'm sure you listened to, because I definitely uploaded it already. This is being recorded a week later.
Yeah,
that was Ethan discovered that he hates Ryan Reynolds.
I didn't discover that.
He discovered that.
Oh, you didn't?
I mean,
you just were reaffirming that?
Yeah, I always
do that. I thought we were talking about what we learned that year, and you said you hated Ryan Reynolds.
Another poor semantics on my part, but never really liked him. I don't know why I would.
Not a Van Wilder fan?
You're not a fan of the Green Lantern?
The Green Lantern. You know, maybe I didn't see that one. Maybe that would have made me more of a fan. But he definitely ruins every movie he's in, right? We can all agree on that.
I'm trying to think of movies I've seen him in. He ruins movie season. I thought he was okay in Waiting. I don't think he ruined that. I think he really annoyed me in Blade Trinity. But there's a lot about that movie that was...
bring it back to
misstep.
Arrival, I think. Arrival is when I first introduced the percentage theory for my actors in movies.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Because, like, Amy Adams adds 10%, was it?
More than that, but...
Gyllenhaal, I think you said, added about 50%.
Yeah, Gyllenhaal's a 50%. If he's in the movie, wow. I'll definitely want to see him more than I would if he was in the movie. But Ryan Reynolds is... I don't know if I brought him up, but he's definitely a negative percentage. Probably
Negative 20%? Yikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't worked out exactly what that means, by the way. Does that mean that a movie that would normally get an A, you'd give a C to or something?
Sure, yeah.
Or just like the likelihood that you'll like it? Is this like a 538 situation?
I think mostly like when I see a movie coming out and the percentage is the likelihood I would see the movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
So we're learning on this podcast that you are not a wordsmith. You're a math guy.
Yeah, sure.
You're very left-brained. That. You're the right-hand man, but you're left-brained.
Yeah,
which is not the preferred skill set when you are, recording.
Podcasting.
Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting here doing math the whole time.
Well, let's move on to a movie that we're all definitely going to love because we all love the star of this film, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Chris Pratt.
Oh, I thought this was I thought you were going to say Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah. Well, Vin Diesel, I think we all legitimately do like Vin Diesel.
No, Chris Pratt, despite his sudden ubiquity, I think?
I think it's ubiquity.
Okay.
It's probably one of those words you can do as ubiquity or ubiquitousness.
No, you can't do ubiquitousness.
I think ubiquitousness is just kind of a test to see if you can actually say it.
Ubiquiosity.
They gave him a shot with Zero Dark Thirty, and that worked out all right. And then basically he was in everything ever.
Wait, he was in Zero Dark Thirty?
Oh, yeah. That was his first post-Parks and Recreations film where
that's
he got beefy.
That's fucking weird.
You know? And then
a fish out of water.
Yeah, he was actually pretty decent. They had the whole... were they a SEAL team or were they like Marines? I can't remember.
They're SEAL Team 6 because they just found out that they are guilty of war crimes or something in some report that just came out.
Well, congratulations.
Good thing
to
we already honored them in a movie, guys.
Yeah, they were kind of like a not very serious group of guys, so it kind of was a good transition for him to kind of try and do a serious role but still get to be, you know, Chris Pratt goofiness.
Like Truman Show for Jim Carrey.
Yeah. or what was it? The Majestic. Remember that one?
Oh, I didn't see that one. That one, was that comedic? I thought that was more...
It was like a lighthearted, romp. Bunch of garbage.
More like the forgettable. Anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Did you see that last one, Ethan? The first one? Oh, okay. This one, you know, I wasn't crazy about the last one, but it is kind of like a, you know, a bottle of Pepsi. It's like, you know, I, you know how I feel about Marvel movies generally. So it's kind of like it, you know, goes on fairly smooth. You don't care too much about it. But this one I'm kind of looking forward to because I think comic book movies are kind of an anomaly in that they seem to hit their stride more in the second because mm-hmm. everything's kind of already, it's like having lasagna the next day instead of the day you cook it. It's like everything's solidified a little better.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. This is an excellent trailer.
I just had some second day lasagna recently, so I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
That was specifically for you, Frankie.
We've got a very narrow demographic, and we're nailing it.
A niche.
You're one of those niches?
Niche, right?
Niche.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this, I'm... The fact that they don't really need to add to their ensemble, you know, because that's the whole thing is ensemble. Mm-hmm. But it was established, and you know, I think there's no reason to think that they won't be able to maintain the chemistry. The actors, not even the characters within the film, but the actors themselves, and you know, just like more cool space stuff for them to do and continue to be funny and play off of each other and all that. So,
seems like the baby Groot will be
more
fun. Like, I think Groot was someone that I enjoyed that character mm-hmm. in the last one, but it seems like the baby version is probably even, you know, more prone to kind of bringing out some interesting situations because it just doesn't understand anything apparently.
Yep.
They did in trailers for this, they did a lot of really like extended sequences that I hope weren't like, you know, the best sequences, but they did, you know, the one of the mind reader who mm-hmm. reveals Chris Pratt's secret, and then they did the one with the, you know, the bomb that the little mm-hmm. Groot isn't figuring out, you know, don't press this button
because it will blow us all to hell. I'm really hoping that that's kind of like a part of the cold open or something, you know, mm-hmm. like they're in some kind of battle right off the bat, and it's like, I think that would probably be the best way to handle that and also make it okay that they had that in the trailer, especially as in-depth as it was. Because, I mean, if that's like the climax of the movie and it's just like, oh, well, you know, like not that I ever thought that they weren't going to, you know, make it out alive and everything, but whatever. But it's like, I already know the punchline of this, so.
Yeah, that would be a shame.
But as long, you know, it'll be better than the dance battle. I think I remember you having a bit of an issue with that being a little bit.
You
kind of
have to see this at this point so we can talk about it.
That's fine. Just talk about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, you and I at some point. I don't think the trailer revealed much about the plot, though, right? It's basically just reminding you the characters you like and trusting that you'll be into whatever they're into.
Yeah, it's in this one. I mean, they've been saying almost since, you know, the first day that the first movie was out and they knew that it was going to be a hit, that the next one was going to be kind of about dads. So kind of, you know, tracing the lineage of all of the various characters in one way or another. So you got,
that could be interesting.
Gamora's character, the Green Lady, the whole big bad guy that's kind of looming over the entirety of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's her dad, you know, so that'll be interesting to see if they kind of throw down Chris Pratt's character, Star-Lord, doesn't know who his dad is at all, you know.
It's Luke Skywalker, I think.
I think, yes. And,
because it's going to be like Patton Oswalt's rant in Parks and Rec.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good.
He describes how Star Wars and Marvel are going to converge, which would make financial sense at some point.
Yes, I think when Walt Disney's corpse defrosts and comes back and starts running things again, I think that'll be his first move. He'd be like, wait a second, we got the comic book guys and the Star Warses. Throw them together.
Man, if he woke up right now, he'd be like, I fucking did it. Look at me. I own Star Wars, I own all these other things that weren't around when I was alive, but whatever.
Yeah. He's like, hey, where's old Hitler? How's he doing? Did he shape things up? Where's my buddy?
He's still around, right? I didn't know that they were tying these into the rest of the Marvel universe, and that made me really happy. So hearing that they're doing that makes me sad.
Yeah,
I thought these were standalones.
No, and they're even bringing Spider-Man in, which we'll get into, but not yet.
First, we got to talk about ladies.
Yeah. So yeah. Speaking of Hitler, we're talking about World War One.
She's going to punch him.
And Wonder Woman, who's fighting in it. So my question with this, I didn't see Dawn of Justice, for obvious reasons. But you mentioned in your article, because I think it's the first thing anyone who saw the first Avenger would think of is, why are they in World War One? Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, why are they in World War One?
Well, I think if you were to make a list of characters that DC has created that always seem to have...
be impervious to mustard gas.
Well, yes. Chief most of her skills is her ability to, you know, be able to forego any kind of maladies that would come from chemical warfare.
Just real quick, what are her powers? Can she fly?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is ooh, that DC is really good at having characters that have defined by story skill sets and powers and origin stories. So if you think
they're
about
really
it,
they're really good at cheating.
I understand it's comics. You make your rules and then you break them, or someone can find a way to get more powerful or whatever. But yeah, you know, she's
Super Saiyans.
You know, exactly. You know, if you get more level. Pissed off, or you know, then you can get stronger. But yeah, she's just, sometimes she can fly, sometimes she needs the invisible jet, sometimes.
Wait, she has the jet?
No, I don't think so. Great movies? If they do that, that would be so ridiculous.
For one thing, the technology would make no sense in the 1910s.
Well, and sometimes she can, you know, sometimes she's as strong as Superman, sometimes she's not, invulnerable, but maybe she uses her, those
bracelet
armbands things and everything, you know, like, it's undefined. And also, she's apparently either immortal in this universe or just ages really slowly because, you know, if she's, I don't know, 20-something.
A fucking dime back in the early 20th century, still a fucking dime.
Exactly. 100 years later. So, yeah.
Ethan, you big
genes,
Wonder Woman fan?
The first note I wrote here while watching the trailer was, who cares? I was like...
About what aspect of it?
No, I was kind of in on it a little bit until they brought in Captain Kirk, and then I was like, Captain Kirk.
Yeah, that was a little...
And then they started doing, like, bullet time in the trailer, and I was like, this is Zack Snyder. Is it Zack Snyder?
Is it? No. No, I think a woman directs this, doesn't?
No.
Oh, his sister?
A lady
director. Yes.
Yeah,
but like, there's like a weird shot in that trailer where like some lady's swinging down a mountain and then the bullet. Like,
yeah,
goes
she
by.
Like swings down to meet a bullet in midair, which is more foresight than even Spider-Man has.
But I did like the scenes where Wonder Woman was like dressed as a casual, but she was still like blocking bullets with her bracelets. Mm-hmm. Like, if that was the whole movie, that'd be cool. But that's not the whole movie.
It seems like
she's walking in the dress and she has the sword down the back of her dress. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it seems like they're gonna do a bit of a like Thor-esque fish out of water, where it's like a woman in a dress, but I can't fight in this dress, and you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's kind of like Thor, right? She's just like, I'm from a fighting culture, and now I'm in the notably peaceful,
a wimpy-ass culture.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, it looks... I'm probably going to take my daughters to see it because they're big fans of Wonder Woman. I'm interested. I heard that, and you'd mentioned in your write-up that she was one of the highlights of Dawn of Justice.
Yes, very much so. And I think... I don't... Did I do... I'm not sure. I'm sure that I... It's either Tweetstorm or some nonsense or whatever. But when I was talking about why I thought that she was as good as she was, is that she was in it just the right amount.
Oh.
And not that I think that her being overwrought was really anything to be worried about, because, you know, she's Gal Gadot, or however you say her name, is really understated in the role. She's like, I think she probably can just be herself and come across as a fantastic, you know, Diana Prince, which is, you know, what I think that's what they call her.
That's her assumed name.
Movie still.
What, her fake passport?
Princess Diana?
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. But, you know, it's just because I think it's weird, because it's almost like juxtaposition against how bad the rest of the movie was. You know?
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Like, no, but, saving so it. So it's almost like giving her a compliment in that way is like not even a real compliment. But no, she was really good, and I think her helming her own movie and hopefully being appropriately badass in it will be pretty fun.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to be waiting for Godot.
What?
The play. So similar to her, we've also got breakout, well, I don't know if it was a breakout character, but Spider-Man introduced into the Marvel Cinematic Universe in, I don't know, what was it, like Iron Man 3 or, you know, Avengers 3?
Civil War?
Which one was it? Civil War. Who?
Civil
War.
Captain America Civil War.
That was a Captain America movie officially. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Spider-Man was in that, now he's in Spider-Man Homecoming. The title doesn't make sense other than to say, like, remind you of, like, the studio machinations behind getting Spider-Man as a property.
Yes.
Yeah, which is very weird.
Basically. It was a strange choice as far as the name is concerned, because I can't even think of anything within the movie itself that they would be able to do that would be Homecoming. But then the trailer shows that there's a Homecoming dance. So
justified.
Yes, holy, I guess. I hope that it doesn't become a bigger part of the movie than it ever needs to be. But I'm just like, you know, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I'm just a sucker for the character in like almost every form it takes and all that. So this is one that this might be, as far as like, you know, comic booky movies and stuff, everything is here, the one that I'm looking forward to the most. I mean, we're going to get to this movie at the end of the year. That's at the end of this list. That's a pretty obvious, you know, number one. But if we were to take that one out of the running, Spider-Man is definitely the one that I'm looking forward to the most.
So what about you, Ethan?
Talking
about
Baby Driver.
Ethan, are you more excited about Spider-Man Homecoming or Murder on the Orient Express?
Really not excited about Spider-Man.
Excited about Spider-Man. You don't like that he's a little guy again instead of hunky Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, they'll never do better than Toby. I'm a super Spider-Man fan. He's my favorite of all the super guys. and I really kept the faith up through the Andrew Garfield redux, but yeah, then they killed my fandom. I think it's dead now.
In which one?
I mean, I didn't see the follow-up to the Andrew Garfield one.
Oh, so you gave Andrew Garfield a shot, and then...
I gave him a shot, and it didn't work. So
that movie's
just kind of
done.
I kind of want to just forget about Spider-Man, like, and just relive Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire.
Oh, classic.
The end of time.
The best one.
Goodness.
So, it does remind me, I mean, it is one of those properties that you do kind of wish, like, it took a rest so that it could come back fresh, but I mean, I haven't seen Civil War, so maybe it is fresh. And they do use that MGMT song in the trailer, which is exciting because I love
so
that song.
Topical.
Yeah, it's really timely.
And I mean, this might be like fanboy knee jerk reaction, and not just from me.
I don't believe it. I won't hear it.
But There is a big contingent of the internet Marvel fans that will remind you or will put forth an opinion that in the brief amount of time that Tom Holland has been Spider-Man on film, that he is the best Spider-Man that
Ooh.
There's ever been.
Well, maybe I'll have to see that one then.
So
I'll fight him.
Yeah, I know.
Come
and
at me.
I hate to break it to you. And again, this is just an opinion, but that's what you guys bring me on here for. But Tobey Maguire was a terrible Spider-Man.
Ooh. Did you think he was a good Peter Parker, though?
No, he was bad at, he was really bad at both. Oh,
well, you're wrong on that part.
But so it's
your
not.
Your opinions are invalid now.
It's, you know, it's pulling a, it's not, it wasn't his fault. Hmm. It wasn't his fault. He was.
No, it's never Toby's fault.
Yeah, I won't hear it. I won't have anyone blame Toby. Certainly not for that third movie and the dancing, which, frankly, I thought that scene was kind of funny. I didn't mind it as much as everyone else.
Yeah, now your opinions are also invalid. Right?
That's probably in terms of, like, I know that, you know, Ray, at some point, Ethan, you said that he asked, like, do I like any movies? That's one of the few cases where everyone else hates something that I actually liked. I didn't like that movie. I thought Spider-Man 3 was terrible. But I thought the sequence where he's dancing like a douchebag was probably a highlight of the film, all things considered.
Sure, why not? I'm going to say that Tobey Maguire was the perfect Peter Parker. Andrew Garfield was a very good Spider-Man. Neither one of them, you know, did both well. I don't know who this kid is, but I'm guessing he's not the perfect mix of both, but
already out of the gates, judging him.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know him, but I hate him.
I never heard of this guy. So
the thing, the last thing that I'll say about it.
Oh, yeah. You say it, because it might be the same thing I'm going to say.
Okay. Is that what I think will be what kind of allows this movie to be hopefully the definitive version of Spider-Man on film is that it will attempt to kind of show what the beginning of Spider-Man's, you know, life as Spider-Man is like, instead of just kind of hopping straight forward to him being an adult and dealing with his stuff, or kind of haphazardly going through, you know, the emotional side of it, but just kind of showing, you know, a kid that stumbled into some powers, is trying to do the best he can, but is also, like, you know, stumbling over trying to meet girls and...
You know who should direct a Spider-Man movie?
Who's that?
Richard Linklater. All right, let's move on, because Spider-Man's going to be a black hole for us. So here's a new property I wasn't aware of, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, and that's Luc Besson from Fifth Element and The Professional. And this one you described as like a big, you know, huge CGI, you know, eye candy, and the trailer really does look like that.
Yes. And
eye candy, more like eyebrow candy. Right, the main girl, their eyebrows.
I was going to say... The both of the kids look like the most French like duo you could get. They both look like like heroin addicted models who are just like exuding ennui. Like
yeah.
I was very distracted by that. And to everything else, all this kind of like vaguely, you know, off brand Star Wars-y stuff happening, and then these kids with their faces. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus, you guys look like you're not having any of it.
I had a very, because this is one of the ones where I was like, man, what am I actually going to talk about with this? Because this is almost entirely something that you need to have seen the trailer for any of this to kind of resonate.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of like what to describe it as, and I had a terrible thought.
Oh no.
That what this reminds me of as far as like the trailer is without having any prior knowledge.
Like Ender's Game?
Oh, worse.
Say it.
Oh.
Say it.
Jupiter Ascending.
Oh. Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and yeah, I, what did you guys think about Cloud Atlas?
I didn't see Cloud Atlas. Was that, that was the Wachowskis and same Channing Tatum?
Mm-hmm. No, well, that's the Jupiter Ascending with Channing Tatum.
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
Cloud Atlas was the one with the Tom Hanks as himself, weirdly, in a bunch of different times and stuff.
What? I gotta see this movie.
Yeah, everyone was like a bunch of different races too, right?
Yeah.
He went in blackface?
Definitely.
Tom Hanks?
No. But Hugo Weaving or someone did a yellow face and it was real bad.
Ooh. Was it Mickey Rooney?
It was not Mickey Rooney, but yeah, this...
He's the master.
It kind of has that same feel. It's like this...
Yeah, totally. French are not that delicate about racial matters.
Well, not with the racial stuff. Just the kind of feel of a film that's, you know, probably supposed to be the first in a series.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Has this grand scope, is going to attempt to just blow everyone away with, you know, its CG, and that mm-hmm. the story itself might fall flat.
It's going to come down to those two kids. I mean, if those kids are like fucking annoying to deal with, then you're not going to want to.
Well, I might be wrong, but I think the girl is, you know, we were goofing on Suicide Squad earlier.
She was like the witch or something. I think it's the same girl. Yeah, Clara Da Vinci or something.
Yes, who I believe was just a supermodel or something before and has attempted believe. To make her transition.
Yeah, I don't know if she's got acting chops, but we'll see. I mean, like you said, that one is one that you kind of do have to see the trailer, right?
Yeah, it looks like it falls into the case of the, what do you call it, the young adult movie with the title that's too long.
It definitely is that, yeah.
It fits into the long list of, what was the other one, like Percy Jackson and the
Lightning Thief or whatever.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians of the Lightning Thief. Because they want to get the name of the... See, that's Game of Thrones is such a good thing. Entire series. They're just like, fuck it. It's called Game of Thrones. We're not going to call it, you know, A Song of Fire and Ice because that's just like normal person asbestos. It's like going to keep you out of wanting to, you know. So yeah, Valerian and the City... who's Valerian? Why just call it the City of a Thousand Planets? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even that's too long.
Yeah, 1KP.
You it's called call it planets.
Yeah, call it life. Take a note from life.
Life, yeah.
Well, speaking of someone with a little class when it comes to naming things, you got Chris Nolan with Dunkirk.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
This was another trailer that, I don't know if the trailer that we linked is actually that, but I saw before, I think Star Wars was a trailer that was just one long, you know, like 7 minutes of the film. And it was Tom Hardy in the plane, and you know, really, really scene setting more than anything. But I really love a movie that feels like it gets all the details right in terms of set design enough that you feel like you are there. And I think that does a lot for, you know, it gives you kind of like you said, Ethan, it gives you a certain amount of percentage in terms of like, all right, that'll carry it a bit as long as the story and the characters are decent. Like that'll, you know, get me in.
Yeah, I'm all in on World War II movies also, so you don't have to do much to convince me.
Well, then, you know, to kind of reference my own writing, how did you feel about The Monuments Men?
Thankfully skipped that one, but
yeah, that I took my parents to see that one and they were not pleased with me.
Oh no,
yikes.
Yeah,
but disappointed mom and dad.
That's tough. Put yourself out there. Thanks, George.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, I know that I probably, like most people, found out about Nolan, you know, through the Batman movies and then kind of dive back into the rest of his catalog.
Like followed him back across, you know, to like non-comic book movies. That's one thing that's weird about, I think, Chris Nolan is that he does have a very large fan base that's partly composed of people who are there because of Batman. But I don't know many other directors who carry people over that same way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, who's following Favreau, Sam Raimi maybe? from Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah. But yeah, this one will definitely be, you know, it'll be like really well shot set pieces and everything. And, you know, and I'm sure it'll have lots of wah and stuff like that in the soundtrack.
You just like put the camera right next to the airplane engine and that'll just like suffice. So Hans Zimmer doesn't have to show up.
I'm sure it's going to be great. On my birthday. Right. It comes out on my birthday.
Nice.
The good thing is, Chris Nolan, it gives me a little pause for concern because so many of Chris Nolan movies, I see them and I love them. But then the more I go back to it or think about it, there's like too many like plot problems to
keep the rule it so is good. You see it in theaters, definitely in theaters, because it'll be a good experience, and then just don't watch it again.
but for this movie, I can't imagine the plot's going to be too complicated. So I think if it keeps it like pretty straightforward and just focuses on like his great visuals and like action directing, then like it could be really good.
We'll have another Red Tails on our hands, baby.
Oh Lord.
So maybe something more risky. We've got a Stephen King fantasy novel series, I assume. I confuse the Dark Tower. I don't read like fantasy books really, other than
you don't read period
Game of Thrones books. Yeah, I don't read period. That's true. But when I do, it's not fantasy. So I get this confused with not Terry Gilliam. Who's the guy who Terry Pratchett writes that other series?
Discworld. Yeah.
So what is Dark Tower like as a series? What is it about? Do you know?
Not really. I know that it's like kind of someone tried to explain it to me as like it begins as kind of a fantasy western. Because like the main character's name is the Gunslinger and everything.
And that's Idris Elba.
Yes, I'm a fan of his, so I think him and McConaughey it'll be interesting to see how they bounce off of each other and everything, but that it had like the series itself has like time travel elements and like between like parallel worlds and also it's just apparently it's really the depth and breadth of the series is kind of too much to be handled within one movie, so much so that I think that the narrative of this film is kind of brand new. It's not going to be pulling from anything in particular. So it's almost like it's okay that, you know, us non-Dark Tower fans that are interested in a kind of sci-fi movie that's maybe from a new property, it's okay that we don't really know a whole lot about it because I'm sure there's going to be elements that people are going to be able to reflect on, you know, having read the series and everything, but it'll also be like a pretty brand new story. So that'll be neat.
I can't stop thinking of Dark Crystal when I see the title. So I can't get that out of my head. So you just explain a movie that's completely different from that, but I'm still thinking it's going to be like Dark Crystal. So I'll see it.
You know, I think the thing about it's weird because I feel like McConaughey and Idris Elba have interesting a contrast between them, I guess, because McConaughey just suddenly was like, you know, no one liked him.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, because he was just in like rom-coms, and then he was suddenly like everyone loved him because he hit Dallas Buyers Club and what was that show, True Detective, at the same time.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Whereas like Idris Elba, I feel like he's a guy who's almost like every year he's in something else and he's always good. And people who kind of, it's like as soon as you kind of like notice him in a movie, you're like all about him. But he hasn't quite broken into like a, you know, annoying phase where he's like you said, like, you know, Chris Pratt was kind of suddenly everywhere and ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like, what's his name? As Idris Elba is there. Maybe if people had their way and he became the new James Bond, maybe he would, you know, reach that point. But it seems like he's able to still kind of stay somewhat under the radar.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people I don't think remember that he was in The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that was kind of people's first, you know, the introduction to him, which was funny because, you know, he was a dude from Baltimore in the show. And then people found out that he was this, you know, Cockney British guy. And they're like, wait a second. Wait. who is this now?
Yeah, kind of like Dr. House all over.
Exactly. Here. Yeah. So I think he almost got to that point with Pacific Rim. Just because that's a movie that kind of divides a lot of people, because some people think that it's, you know, the greatest thing ever just because it's, you know, Gundam, essentially, on screen. And then other people think that it's just kind of a cheesy attempt at, like, you know, harkening back to Independence Day and stuff like that. Didn't really hit. So I think because Pacific Rim was kind of more of a cult enjoyable film from just super nerds, that if that had become just, you know, if that was like Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, that was the one that Chris Pratt was in, right?
Yeah.
If it had been like that, if it had been received like that, then we might be in that Idris Elba world where we're like, ugh, again. But
yeah,
luckily,
that means the damn handsome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm excited about this one. I think it'll be neat.
Sure.
Well, this next one, Ethan, this is your boy coming up, Baby Driver by Edgar Wright.
Baby Driver.
Ooh. I feel like that's all you have to say. I feel like if you're not on board after hearing Edgar Wright, then I still would say, well, give it a chance.
What I'm guessing happens is you hear the title and you're way off board.
Yeah. He thinks it's like Baby's Day Out too.
Baby's Day Out. Plus, there's that movie that's, I think, out now, Boss Baby. That's like a CGI movie.
What?
Baldwin. Yeah, he voices a baby. He's a boss. That's what I was thinking of.
Wait, he's a baby?
Yeah. Is it like is it like the one with Bruce Willis? Like, Look Who's Talking?
I think that's kind of like
animated.
Oh, Jesus.
I think it's where, it seems dumb to say, but I think it's where the twist may come in. Because it's like,
Boss Baby.
is this character actually a baby or like some strange, you know?
Is it dwarf? Mickey Rooney again?
Yeah. So yeah, that's a dang. How did we get there? That was not a small infant driving. I don't think.
No.
At least from what I know so far.
Yeah, and I kind of like just not knowing anything about it except for Edgar Wright's the director, so yeah, I'm totally in.
Yeah.
You're on board.
On board.
Even if Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are seemingly nowhere near this film,
that's
Edgar Wright is more than enough for me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I think that's, like I said, that's all you got to say. So, I mean, that one is probably the most, you know, in terms of percentage, the biggest guarantee that I'll see it this year.
Mm-hmm.
And moving from that to the one that I'm least likely to see this year. You're harshing on Thor, saying that out of all the Avengers, he had the shittiest movies. And he's back with another one, baby.
Yeah, with everyone's favorite word that no one knows what it means, Ragnarok.
It means Armageddon, doesn't it?
Yes.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well, I knew that.
It's like the end war. It's the beginning of the end of time as far as Norse mythology is concerned.
Yeah, and this one. Okay, here's the question though. Since we all been talking about this, why don't they more heavily feature hunky Idris Elba
in Thor?
He plays the guy who lives on the bridge. Yeah,
Heimdall. Yeah,
Heimdall. Lives on a bridge. Exactly. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
He's living on a bridge the whole time. His eyeballs can see everything, apparently. I don't think they really thought that out, because I don't know that the movie really makes sense if you follow that through. But instead, they focus a lot on Loki, who I feel like is a really overrated actor in the Marvel movies. He's interesting, but they seem to think that they're getting, like, the Joker out of him. And
right.
Not really.
I mean, that's what Loki's supposed to be, right? Like, the trickster.
Yeah.
He wasn't very trickster in the first Avenger.
I don't remember any tricks. He's not very trickstery at all, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely, within the fan base, a lot of love for old Hiddleston there, Tom Hiddleston. But
yeah, he's kind of gotten that.
Yeah, I think he does a good enough job. I think it's more
I like the actor.
Yeah, I just think the use of the character is kind of off, but it's the best things about Thor are usually not Thor.
In the like his sidekicks are always generally funny.
Yeah, and they focus so much on Loki that it just kind of. But I think that, you know, it's kind of a misuse of, not that, you know, Chris Hemsworth isn't, you know, going to be winning any Oscars anytime soon that I know of, but he's. He's really good in the role. He's, you know, like, especially in the first movie with the whole fish out of water thing that we were mentioning.
He's very good at being, like, obtuse.
Yeah.
Like, braggadocio, but also obtuse at the same time.
Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to kind of see, you know, I struggle saying his name, so I'm going to give it a shot. But I think it's Taika Waititi, I think.
Nope.
Is the director's
definitely
name?
Not.
No.
No, I mean, that could be it. I don't know.
he did the Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was what I was attempting to say about him being kind of a strange pick
an
off the board pick as a director. So because it's, you know, those are comedies. You know, and like kind of oddball
kind of
comedies. He also
indie,
did a movie called
kind of Quirky, right?
Yeah, he did a movie called Eagle vs. Shark, which is one of my favorite, like, very obviously indie films of the past decade. It has Jemaine from Flight of the Conchords in it, and he's just a complete and total nerd. But yeah, it'll be cool. I think With Thor's character and the Hulk's character, as far as the, because the Hulk will be in this movie as well, it's like just giving them to keep their characters relevant as, you know, superheroes, you have to give them stuff to hit, you know? They can't just like fight soldiers and stuff, you know?
That's the best way I've ever heard it put.
So I think if this film cannot get too bogged down in the whole trying to fit in this Ragnarok story and give us enjoyable action scenes,
the story that the movie is titled after,
then I think it'll be fine.
Just leave that on the table. Nope. You got nothing to say about Thor?
No. I also wrote for this one, who cares? And this time I also wrote it. Except for the words you put in here, Planet Hulk. That does interest me, but I don't know what that is. So
I saw the cartoon, the animated Planet Hulk, because I think, I don't know what I was doing, but I was on YouTube, and whatever I was searching for, I found someone had just uploaded the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of like, I wasn't doing anything at the time, so I just watched the movie. And it's, I mean, it's basically if you took Gladiator and then like cast Hulk in the role of Maximus, that's kind of the movie. So could be interesting, but the Hulk kind of needs to speak. I don't know where the Hulk is. The Hulk is an annoying character to me because he's one of those that like, you feel like he's kind of ruined by his own medium, because the character of Hulk, you know, you want to have an arc where he kind of gets his rage under control. Yeah. But obviously the comics need him to always be not in control. And then some comics want him to be able to talk. Some want him to be able to be not angry when he's Hulk and just control it. So I don't know where he is in the movies, but I'd assume that he's probably kind of a mess.
Yeah, I mean, he's really only, you know, spoken when he called Loki a puny god when...
You
know, so... There's not a lot, you know, he's not very eloquent, the Hulk.
Okay.
But
well, we'll see if he learns to speak.
In the Planet Hulk
that'd be a fun
stuff,
movie.
He is, you know.
the Hulk meets a rival. They teach the Hulk to speak.
But yeah, it'll
be
neat. Are
there other Hulks? Is this a planet full of Hulks?
No, he eventually becomes, within the storyline, he becomes the ruler of the planet. So it is his planet, and he is Hulk. So Planet Hulk.
It doesn't seem like he'd be good at governing.
I don't think so. But, you know, hey, maybe.
The weird
thing
about Planet Hulk is also he never reverts to being Bruce Banner, even when he's, like, knocked out, which that annoyed me. I'm like, that's the whole thing. You can't just get rid of the Bruce Banner and keep the Hulk. They're the same. Anyway. Speaking of clusterfucks, Justice League.
Oh, Lord.
They're getting it together. They finally did. They finally caught up. They are catching up with the Avengers. They're like, we'd like $1 billion, too, actually.
They're going to get it.
They've got Batfleck in there. They've got Wonder Woman. And they've got the Jason Momoa now as Aquaman. Not the Aquaman we grew up with, who was a joke. This is more of a, Khal Drogo as an Aquaman.
Which will still be a joke.
And some little wiener as the Flash.
I kind of like the Flash.
Yeah, it's kind of a I don't know.
Don't forget about Cyborg now, guys. He's part of the Justice League too.
Is he? Because the trailer forgot about him.
Yeah. There, I think a picture came out just this week with him in it. So
is he like a transformer, or is he like Gizmo Duck, where like the stuff attaches to his body, or is his body
surprisingly the assessment that he is more like Gizmo Duck is actually accurate. He's
okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how they're going to handle his origin. They did, you know, they had it in that like essentially YouTube clip portion of Batman versus Superman. In the middle, when Wonder Woman just like hops on YouTube and learns about superpowered people or whatever.
Wonder Woman goes on YouTube. That's the character that they decided should be the YouTube savvy character.
Yeah, it's,
I'd watch that.
She got a data file from Batman, essentially, you know, and it was like, these are the superpowered people that Lex Luthor has been tracking. And it was essentially like, you know, trailers for all the movies that were going to be coming out. Like, oh, here's here's this guy underwater. I wonder what his deal is. Oh, here's a guy real fast in a supermarket stopping a robbery. And then like some weird science experiment where this guy, I think, is trying to save his son and then turns him into cyborg with some weird amorphous cube. It's just dumb.
He didn't look that old. He's got a kid?
No, he's the kid.
Oh, no, he is the kid.
Oh, the kid turns into the cyborg. Okay.
Yes, yeah. That is what I have surmised from.
Okay. Is Superman in this movie?
He'll you know, like at the end of Batman vs. Superman, he was
it's a secret.
He's dead, you know, because you kill Superman. Yeah, totally. And then
he died at the end of that movie?
Yeah, I mean, it's at the point where I just don't even, care about the spoilery aspect of it, because who cares? Because he's not going to stay dead, so what's the point?
I got to watch that now. But he's that terrible in the movie coffin. That I've been warned not to see.
He's in the coffin, right?
Oh, is he? I don't know.
Well, this is one of those rhetorical in the trailer? Rats, you know?
Oh, okay.
At the end of the movie. Mm. I'm just spoiling it all for you, because it doesn't matter. Like, it really, literally doesn't matter at all.
No, yeah, no, nobody cares. It's all
good.
Yeah.
Just fire him off.
Right before the credits roll, the dirt that's on the top of the coffin starts to levitate off the top, because, you know, he's Superman and he flies and stuff, so.
That's his power, is to make dirt levitate, like Goku preparing a Kamehameha blast.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that Goku joins the Justice League? And if so, could Superman beat him up?
Did you just watch Dragon Ball or something?
I've always just watched Dragon Ball. Who knows? I think there's scholars maintain that that Goku, with his ability to just get more pissed off and get stronger, would win eventually. But who knows?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because Superman beat up the Hulk in the Marvel DC crossover, which was one of the first comics I ever read. And I loved that, because just knowing that one fact would allow you to own so many nerds. We're like, nah, the Hulk could never lose to Superman. Okay, so Superman's dead, and in response, Batman's the big dick on campus, and he's creating a squad. I don't recall the trailer saying anything about what the danger is, so I don't know if we're in Avengers territory where they kind of hastily wrote what something that could possibly, fight Wonder Woman and Batman and Cyborg and the Flash and Fishman.
Did I write who the bad guy was in there? The name of the guy?
Did you? Oh yeah, his name is like Chester or something.
No.
Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. Okay.
Like the band.
Yeah, what the fuck does that mean? Steppenwolf?
You know.
Listen, dude, I don't know if you've noticed, but I checked out of this explanation.
okay.
This is on there because it has to be on there.
Is he like a Lobo?
Because I'm actually into this movie at all.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You wrote this one. This was your cheater, because you made this 16. You included two movies on one, and then you said this one you don't even want to see. So this one's the one you don't have to see, folks.
Yes.
Okay, I want to see Superman. Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to see it just basically so that I can complain about it, which is a luxury afforded
That'll
to me
fun.
By being an American.
Okay. So moving on to the real essentials, we've got a children's film on this list.
How about
Coco.
That?
Hell yeah.
Like a monkey. Like the monkey you learned how to speak.
A Pixar movie.
This is Pixar? This isn't Disney?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I can't tell anymore.
Well, yeah.
They are one and the
easily
same.
Confused.
Well, because this does seem like for one thing, it's about humans, which is not that common for Pixar. And it's also about, the only thing I know about it is that it's like a different ethnicity than most Disney movies. I assume this is Mexican.
Yes.
Non-white.
Something like Day of the Dead. Yeah, exactly. It's like checking a box for what kind of dolls are we not selling to kids yet?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Are they not? Is there not a Hispanic? Oh, no, because they tried to make a Hispanic princess. With Sophia, and then everyone was like, no, that's not Hispanic. This girl is white as hell. Mm-hmm. So they actually made another one. Also didn't give her a movie,
I think,
though.
That one's coming out.
She's in stores.
Yeah, I think it's
least.
A TV show, ain't it?
Yes, yeah, something like Esmelda or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Esmelda. It's a TV show again.
Yeesh.
So this is that's why this has kind of that stink of like a market-driven... I mean, I shouldn't judge it because it's Pixar, but as Ethan's learned...
That's exactly what we're doing.
Ethan has a Pixar-based podcast, and wow. You just got to Cars, right?
Yeah, we just got through Cars.
Yeah, the dark times. So, yeah, Pixar, yeah, Pixar isn't as bulletproof as maybe people still treat him.
No, not for the past decade.
Do we know any details about what this movie's about?
You don't think so? I guess that's another podcast for another time. Maybe I can come on and
it's literally another podcast.
on that podcast. It's going to be heavily music based. It's going to be, from what I've seen, it definitely has a Dia de los Muertos, feel to it. It's got that whole mm-hmm. Sugar Skulls and all that, but it's about, connecting with family members that have passed away and through music, essentially. It's kind of what it's.
Is Randy Newman coming back?
I hope so. Right foot. Yeah, totally.
No, don't tell KG. I'm kind of excited to see that because in your write up here, you mentioned it does look like a Book of Life ripoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wanted to see Book of Life, but I just didn't. So maybe now I'll just try and see Coco instead.
Pass it off.
To fill that void there. Because I like all the Sugar Skull stuff. It's mm-hmm. It's neat. It's very fun to look at. So.
Book of Life.
We're all fans of Cinco de Mayo, folks.
That was good.
Book of Life was really
Cinco de Mayo. Okay, well, maybe I'll just watch Book of Life then.
And then not this.
It also has Channing Tatum in it. Look at that.
Well, you have to watch this anyway for your Pixar podcast.
Well, yes. But I don't have to be excited for it.
Okay. Well, one thing I'm slightly excited for, just because of how weird a concept it is, or it's not that weird, but it's just like out of the left field, Murder on the Orient Express. Now, this is like Hercule the Detective, right?
Hercules?
That's do you ever watch Muppets Tonight, Frankie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you remember the one where Jason Alexander played Hercule the Detective, but yes. All the Muppets thought he was Hercules? That's one of my favorite skits of all time, like regardless of show.
Oh, that's so good. I completely forgot about that.
And that's who's on the Murder on the Orient Express, yeah. Right? So it's a Hercule the Detective?
Yeah, Hercule, mm-hmm. Is it Poirot or something like that?
Poirot?
Yeah.
Played by Kenneth Branagh.
No.
I think so.
They couldn't get right Jason Alexander?
Yeah.
That could be interesting. I mean, this is really off out of left field. I mean, it's a murder mystery on a train, a classic, style, a classic, mm-hmm. Movie. So I guess it's just like a remake. But mm-hmm. It's the kind of remake I'm like oddly interested in because when do you see anything? Yeah. When do you see a movie about anybody, like let alone like, let's say, a girl on a train? You never see movies like that anymore.
Like a snow train.
Ooh, Snowpiercer.
That was good, I would say. It was not great, but it was good. Worth seeing.
This one, it has a pretty interesting... Ethan.
Pretty good cast.
What's the percentage for Johnny Depp?
Ooh. Today or
yes, current decade current ago. Johnny Depp,
drug abusing Johnny Depp or sober Johnny Depp?
Is he sober
if
now?
If he's abusing drugs in the movie, then that's I would say a plus 10%. If not at this point, maybe a minus 20.
If he's abusing drugs in the movie, that's a plus 30%. If he's abusing drugs in real life during the filming of the movie, that's a plus 5%.
Okay,
and who else is in this movie, which segues perfectly into the next part. Daisy Ridley.
Ah,
nice.
I'd like to see her in something else. I like to, you see someone in that one role and get them, in a new environment, see what they're like.
Exciting times.
Yeah.
Exciting times.
Her middle name is Jazz. Sorry, I'm on IMDb now.
Okay, yeah. Get out of here,
I'll
guys.
I'll get off.
All right. So, murder mystery, annoying French accent. I mean, what more could you want, I would say?
Yeah, let's see it.
Fits really right alongside, Wonder Woman and fucking The Dark Tower on this list. And then the last one on the list, I assume that you just had to fill the list out, like you were like trying to find, another film to make it.
Yeah,
it's
like, man, it's December. It's getting tough. What's left?
No good Christmas movies.
Christmas with the Cranks.
When's the last time they made a good Christmas movie?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I would say It's a Wonderful Life was the last good Christmas movie.
No. I'm
1946. They haven't made a good one since.
I really like Elf. Just going to put that
out
there.
Oh, I love Elf. Elf is good.
Yeah, Elf's great.
That was probably the last good Christmas movie. And
that's what I said.
First one for a while, I would say, too.
All right, enough of the Christmas movies.
Star Wars.
Luke Skywalker. Now, this, I assume, is going to pick right back up where the other one left off.
It might, literally. They can't, because they have to do the spaceship cresting the planet.
It's going
to
be so annoying.
Space.
They're like, we want to just pick right up, but we can't. First, we have to do the crawl, and then we have to show the planet, and then like slowly zoom in, mm-hmm. and just to get us back where we were supposed to be.
We want
to
make a good movie, but we can't because we're stuck.
Do you guys have strong opinions either way about The Force Awakens? I mean, I know that we talked about it a little bit with Rogue One, but
we talked about it a lot.
Well, I know that we called it Tina Fey and everything, but you know, like. Did you guys care for or just like, eh?
The best thing I could say about The Force Awakens is it left me the days after I saw it wanting to know what was going to happen with the characters that were in it. So this movie I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. I think also...
excited to see how they kill off Carrie Fisher too. The weird thing is on IMDb, she's like the second listed billed person in it.
Who's number one? Mark?
I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, maybe it's random, but it reminded me when looking at it today, I was like, oh, yeah, she's actually like going to be in this movie and they have to think of a way to get her out, which is macabre, so we can move on.
Yeah, sure.
It's really going to be, there's the weirdness with Finn being like, incapacitated at the end, which is kind of like a...
Yeah.
Like a Matrix... The second Matrix movie.
Oh,
type
no.
Thing, you know, so.
I thought you were going to say like Empire.
Oh, no. No way. Well, okay. No. So.
Not like that good film.
But here's the thing. This is the thing that I worry about. It's pretty well documented, even if you're a fan of Tina Fey, that it is essentially just a remake, Like,
oh, yeah.
And it makes sense, to kind of bridge the gap between old fans, new fans, yada, 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 yada.
Well, that's why I'm kind of looking forward to this one, because they can kind of like spread their wings and do their own story instead of just like the other one seemed like we need a plot to like introduce you to these characters and we don't want to fuck it up because we want to make like 14 more of these movies.
But I'm worried that they will dive into the Empire Strikes Back bag a little bit too much, with the training, of a... an old reclusive Jedi master and this new plucky savant and everything,
mm-hmm.
That there's a branching story. So you had like this group of people that are off doing whatever now. And then, then Poe and Finn will probably be like the, regardless of whether you think they're romantically involved or not, will be like the Han and Leia. They're on their own kind of, mission and all sorts of stuff, and it'll just
honestly, that would be funny as hell if they actually sacked up and had those two guys kiss in this movie.
Yeah, that
I was gonna say, wouldn't it be funny as hell if they just remade the entire first trilogy with three movies? And they're like, I dare you not to watch these.
Yeah, I dare you not to show up for the third one, fuckers. Guess what we've got in store for Ewok replacements.
Goodness. But yeah, I'm very excited. I really,
you're kind of bringing me down, actually. now that you're saying all this, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see all the ways this could suck.
I'm just trying to keep it in perspective.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of ways.
But I really liked all of the new characters that were introduced. I think they did themselves a service by making it a good plot point for Han Solo to get, axed and everything.
I didn't like the way that happened. I think it was fine.
Do you think it was
too
on the nose?
Well, yeah, I think it was. I think it was too, you kind of know what's going to happen, and they didn't think of a creative way, the way I feel is generally, if you have a guy getting killed off screen, that's a bad idea. You've done it wrong. And mm-hmm. in a way, he was kind of killed, the little lightsaber, just kind of pops out. And it had a slight stink of Harrison Ford's only shown up for one movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to get dragged in. He'll do one. He'll be a good guy, but he's going to leave. And yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, they should have killed Leia if it, you know. Again, this is a kind of macabre. We should move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop it.
But all the...
it's all you.
All that being said, getting the depth and all that stuff, everything out of the way, all the new characters that were introduced...
We had to go, because someone else has got to take the Falcon anyway. Yeah. That'd be annoying if he was still hanging around on it.
I'm interested in them. Yeah, definitely had to go. I'm interested in their arcs and what they do going forward. And, you know, I'm a big sucker for Luke Skywalker as a character, so it'll be really interesting to see how he does the whole hermit thing. So
that was ballsy to hold him back the entire first movie. I mean, it was kind of also shitty, and that annoyed me. Like, I wanted to see it. But it's like, you know, it's kind of like holding him back. It's like, all right, well, now we've got a whole new thing to look forward to. What about you, Ethan? Are you going to show up for this Star Wars?
Yeah, they've got me. Star Wars.
I mean, is it just obligation? You kind of have to.
It really is. I mean, it's a cultural just touchstone now. Like, if you don't see it, then you're not going to, like, get what everyone's talking about for the next 2 months.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so that's the list, basically, of the goddesses. I'll direct listener to the website where Frankie also wrote a few honorable mentions and then movies you very intentionally left off the list.
Yes.
And you can find those on on the website. But let's move into you got any corrections, Eth? Or omissions or fuck yous?
We got one correction and one omission. So let's start with the correction here. On the last episode, Jared, you said Jersey Shore starred a person named Sookie. No, it was not Sookie, it was Snooky. Sookie is from True Blood. Get it right. Yeah.
Idiot. Yeah.
Ridiculous. If I had said True Blood, would anyone get that, though?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay, I don't know you watched True Blood. I didn't know you were a 23-year-old woman.
Jesus.
Hey, that first season is solid. Then it kind of falls off the rails.
Sookie is solid.
Nice. The main omission is... leaving Baywatch off your 15 flicks to see in 2017. What were you thinking, Frankie?
Oh, wait, with The Rock.
So we're doing omissions on the current podcast now?
Yeah. Boom. I'm bending the rules a little bit.
They're my rules.
I will say omission of sensibility, thinking that Tobey Maguire is the best Spider-Man. Boom. Nailed it.
Hey, I'm the only one that gets to do these. This is my part. Yeah. Baywatch, starring The Rock, and who's the other kid? Judd Hirsch?
Zac Efron.
Dude, that guy is ripped in the, like, kind of ridiculously so.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Like, he should have toned it down a bit. Wait, so we only know the two guys in it? I feel like this is not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a good sign.
They weren't able to nab, like, Kate Upton just to play, like, a
boobs up
three lines of dialogue character. Yeah,
She'll probably have a cameo or something.
I'm sure, parts of her will have cameos.
I hope they do, play into the Futurama joke and just film the entire film in slow motion.
I like it.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate.
Okay, so that's all we've got, for us. Now, we're washing our hands of this whole New Year business. We're well into 2017 now, and we're just looking forward. Next thing that's going to happen is little baby brother Ethan... is heading on up to Salt Lake City so we can take in Sundance. We're going to do three nightly, kind of raw, just transmissions of what we're seeing on the first weekend of Sundance. And then I guess the next week.
Maybe raw and
watch a lot of movies. Yeah.
We could try and fit 10 in.
Yeah, if we can. We'll see if we can do that. We're buying tickets tomorrow, so we'll have to see what the... what's available we end up getting.
Yeah, we gotta start looking at the actual lineup.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be fun.
But until then, thanks for coming on again, Frankie. It's been real.
Thanks, Frank.
No problem.
And thanks for listening again, listener. We love you.
Love you.
The back.